They had seen everything that the Lord Jesus Christ had done. They would confess and they would be aware that he was not just like any ordinary man. They would confess that he was a prophet, and we thought that he would be the one who would deliver, would redeem Israel. They knew that he was unique. He was a prophet which was mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. They recognized the distinction and the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus. But I like the whole tenor of this passage, because we see something of the heart of the Lord Jesus. Here they were, two individuals walking home, and perhaps their shoulders were sagging. Perhaps their countenance was saddened as they were moving along the way, and Jesus himself draws near to them. And I love the exchange, because it shows us his heart. He was concerned about where they were at, what was going on with them. He says, "What is this condition? Why is it? What manner of communication is this that you're sad? Why are you so sad? Why are you walking with your shoulders down and your hands hanging down? Why are you so sad? What is it that you are having this intense conversation about?" They talked together of all those things which had happened. And Jesus drew near. What we want to learn and make an application from this is that we have the understanding of the ever-present concern of the Lord Jesus. That when we are going through and we are trying to evaluate and assess the circumstances and situations of life, we may not have all the perspective. We might not understand the circumstance. But we always can have the assurance of the promise that if we cast our care upon him, he will care for us. He drew near to them because he cared. He cared about their circumstances. He cared about what they were going through. He cared about their emotional state. He said, "You're sad. Why are you so sad?" And I love it that the disciples were so animated and so concerned. They tell him and says, "Well, what are you, a stranger? You don't know what's been happening? Current event? This is a current event. Are you a stranger in Israel? Do you not know what's going on?" And sometimes we think that our circumstance is isolated to ourselves. Little do we realize that there might be someone sitting right next to you who is going through something very similar. But even worse than that, we might even think that there is the Lord in heaven who doesn't know what we're going through. Jesus says, the scripture says concerning the Lord Jesus, he was in all points tested like we are. He has gone through every possible condition that this world can throw at a human being, himself being sin apart. And he is a faithful and a merciful and a succoring and a supporting high priest, because he's been through the human condition, sin apart. And I love it when the Lord Jesus Christ draws near to them and he asks them about their condition. And they say to him, this is the way things are. Are you a stranger? You don't know what's going on. And Jesus, simply in engaging them, he says, he wants to bring out their own heart. He wants to bring out their own reaction to the things. And he says, "What things? What are you talking about?" Do you think it's that the Lord Jesus didn't know? No, he knew. He wanted to draw out their hearts. And sometimes what we do is we hold in the things, and God wants us to just lay it out before him. You remember in the Old Testament, Hezekiah was very concerned, because Hezekiah was a king of Israel. And what happened was the enemy sent letters to disrupt them and to cause them to be in consternation, to be threatened. And what we learn from the life of Hezekiah, that Hezekiah took those letters and he laid them out before the Lord and said, "Lord, this is the situation." And that's what we need to do in our lives. We need to just lay out the situation before the Lord and wait for his instruction and his guidance. He asked them what things. He asked this as a clarifying question so that they can then express to him what was going on in their own hearts and in their own minds. And so they begin to share with him their understanding of the circumstance. They said, "We were concerned about this Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet. He did some great things. He fed 5,000. He raised people from the dead. He can look up to heaven and turn a little boy's lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes into baskets full of food that he can give to the disciples to distribute to feed 5,000 plus people. He was a prophet, mighty indeed. We spoke about this earlier, that in his way of communicating and in teaching, he taught as no one else. He taught with authority. He was a man, a prophet, mighty indeed with before God and all the people. The people recognized him. But all of it seemed to come crashing down because this one who did such great deeds and such a mighty work, he was delivered to the rulers and to the priests, and they cast him out and said, "Away with him. We will not have him to reign over us. We don't want him." They crucified him. And so you can think of them as they had all their hopes centered in this one who did, who came on the scene, did all of these wonderful things, their hopes being raised. And all they had, the last image that they had in their own mind was him hanging on a cross, bowing under the weight of all that the Roman Empire could give, the lashes, the crown of thorns, and all that seemed to be their hope and aspiration in the Lord Jesus Christ had vanished. And so now they're going home and they're sad. They had trusted that he would be the one that should redeem Israel. And furthermore, now we're really confused because we saw him crucified, but then some of our company went and they went to the tomb and they had a vision of angels that said he is risen. And now we don't know what's going on. We don't know whether he's dead. We don't know whether he is alive. We don't know what to do. Jesus begins this process of helping them out. But he has to rebuke them. He has to rebuke them because a couple of reasons. One, they had the scriptures. They had the prophets. The second thing they had his own words. Sometimes in our lives, in our experience, the answer is right before us in the Word of God, but because either we don't read it and understand it and comprehend what God's mind is as it's revealed in the Word of God, or either we didn't pay attention. Jesus was very stern with them. He says, "You fools, and slow to heart." God, in his providence and in his marvelous sovereign grace, has allowed us to have his word, and he has preserved it against every assault that man can bring against it. Men have set out mission in life to destroy the word of God. They're gone. The word of God still remains. He says, "Oh, fools and slow to heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." It's so important for us to take the Word of God very seriously. And he says, "Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" The scriptures tell us that there was coming one who would suffer. Psalms 22, it tells us that there was that cry of the psalmist, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I give my back to the smiters and to those who pluck my beard.